narrated by Ahmad and Abu Dawud and at-Tirmidhi. The supplication with the wording, O Allah, I ask you by the fact that all praise is for you. None has the right to be worshipped except you. You are Al-Mannan, the bestower of all blessings. You are the originator and creator of the heavens and the earth. O possessor of majesty and honor. Ibn Qayyim said, so this is making a request to Allah and seeking a means to draw closer to him, tawassul, by praising him. And by the fact that none has the, by mentioning the fact that none has the right to be worshipped except him, and by mentioning the fact that he is Al-Mannan, the bestower of all blessings. So this is tawassul, doing tawassul to Allah, seeking to draw closer to him by means of his names and his attributes. And this kind of supplication is the one that is most befitting that it should be responded to. And how great is mentioning Allah's names and attributes upon the request. So this is a very great matter from the matters of Tawheed. Then the sixth and last kind of text that will occur with regard to Allah's names and attributes, he said, is an attribute which is arrived at when one name of Allah is joined along with another name. And this will produce something additional over and above what is contained in each individual name. And he gives an example. So he says, when Allah is mentioned that he is Al-Ghani Al-Hamid, that Allah is the rich one who is free of all need, and Allah is Al-Hamid, the one deserving all praise. That each of these names are perfect and contain perfection. And when they are brought together, they produce a further perfection. He said, likewise, his names, Al-Afu, Al-Qadir, the one who pardons, the all-powerful one. And likewise, when his names, Al-Hamid, Al-Majid, the one deserving of all praise, the one perfect in glory and honor. When these names are mentioned, each one of them is perfect, and when they are mentioned together, then it produces further perfection. And likewise, most of the attributes of Allah which are then mentioned together. And most of the names of Allah when they are mentioned together. When more than one name of Allah is mentioned together, this principle here applies. Perfection upon perfection. Because, and he explains, because Al-Ghani, that Allah is the one who is free of all need, he is the rich one who is free of all need, this is an attribute of perfection for Allah. And Al-Hamd, praise of him, that he deserves all praise, is likewise an attribute of perfection of him. And when these two come together, Al-Ghani with Al-Hamid, then it produces further perfection. Because Allah deserves to be praised for his being rich and independent, and the fact that he is dependent upon none. And he is praised for the fact that he is deserving fully of praise. And he is to be praised for these attributes, two of them together. And likewise, he is the one who pardons, and he is the one who has all power. And he is the praiseworthy, and the one perfect in glory and honor. And the fact that he is almighty, and that he is all-wise. So you should consider this, because it is one of the most noble branches of knowledge. And that's where the Sheikh ends his point. And forgive me if I'm going on quite a long time, but this point is important. As a further clarification of this final point, I'll bring something that Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he brings in his excellent book, one of the most excellent books written in this regard, if not the most excellent book written by the people. This principle here, that when a name of Allah is mentioned, then it contains perfection and shows perfection. And then when a second name is brought, then likewise. And when they occur together, more than one name occurs together, then it means further perfection over and above that. I'll just bring a brief example that Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen brings to make this point clear. He said, an example of this is Al-Aziz al-Hakim, that Allah is Al-Aziz, the Almighty One, and the One Mighty in honor, and that he is Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. So we find very, very often in texts that these two names, Allah mentions them together, that he is Al-Aziz al-Hakim, the Almighty, the All-Wise. Sheikh said, because Allah the Most High gathers these two names in the Quran together very frequently. So when that happens, each of these names indicates individual perfection that is special to that name. The first of them, Al-Aziz, indicating Allah's might, and the second, his saying about himself that he is Al-Hakim, indicating his judgment and his wisdom. So each of those are perfect attributes. And when these names are gathered together, then that brings about a further level of perfection, or it brings about a further perfection, which is that Allah's might, the might of Allah the Most High, is associated along with his knowledge. Rather, he is associated along with his wisdom. Allah's might is associated along with his wisdom. So his might does not mean that with his might he causes any oppression or wrongdoing, or that he acts in a manner that is wrong or bad, as might happen with mighty people amongst the creation. Because a person who has some might, his might may lead him to act in a sinful and bad manner, such that he oppresses others, and he behaves in a bad manner. So he's making the point here that as for Allah's might, he is Al-Aziz, the one perfect in might. But not only is he Al-Aziz, he is also Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. So along with Allah's might, he is All-Wise. Then he says, and likewise, Allah's judgment and wisdom is associated along with his perfect might, contrary to the case in the creation. Because a person in the creation might be a judge, or he might be a person with wisdom, but he is a person who is humiliated. He does not have the might to employ his judgment or his wisdom. With regard to to Allah, then he has wisdom and judgment, and along with it he has might. So it is perfection upon perfection. That's where the Shaykh ends the point. And as a very final point, the further issues, which are very brief, at the end of the chapter, the author said, this chapter contains further issues. Firstly, an affirmation of Allah's names. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, meaning the names of Allah the Most High. This point that we should therefore affirm Allah's names. Shaykh said, it is taken from the saying of Allah, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءِ. These beautiful and perfect names are for Allah. Shaykh said, so this is information in this ayah, which includes, by indication, affirmation of the names for Allah. And this sentence shows restriction. And this restriction is with regard to these names being perfect and beautiful. And Allah's names are perfect and beautiful. They are particular to him. And the Jahmiyyah and the extreme Mu'tazila, they deny affirmation of names for Allah the Most High. So Shaykh mentions the deviants here, the Jahmiyyah and the extreme Mu'tazila, because the Mu'tazila differ in this matter. The Jahmiyyah and the extreme Mu'tazila, not only do they deny Allah's attributes, they even deny his names. Despite the fact they are mentioned in the text, they deny the names as well. Then he said the second further issue, that Allah's names are husna, are at the limit of perfection and beauty. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, meaning they are at the limit of beauty and are most perfect in that. Because husna is the feminine form of ahsan, the best, which is superlative. The third further issue, the command to make supplication to Allah and worship him with these names of his. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, as we have had, dua is of two kinds. Dua of request, supplication, and dua that is worship, meaning worshipping Allah. And both of these are commanded by this ayah, that you should call upon Allah and worship him by his beautiful and perfect names in both senses. Meaning making dua, supplication to him with these names, and worshipping him in the light of these names. And that has proceeded. The fourth further issue, this chapter shows, abandoning those ignorant and deviant people who turn away or who oppose to abandon those who oppose from the ignorant and the deviants. The Sheikh said, meaning abandoning their way, it does not mean that we do not call them and do not make the matter clear to them. And this ayah also contains a threat. Then the fifth further issue is an explanation of what is meant by ilhad, deviation with regard to Allah's names. The Sheikh said that has already preceded, and the different types of ilhad, deviation, has already preceded. The sixth further issue, a severe threat for those who deviate with regard to Allah's names. The Sheikh said this threat is to be taken from the saying of Allah the Most High, سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, that they will be punished in accordance with what they used to do. Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. That's where the chapter ends, and what I hope to do next time, inshallah, is because of what's contained in the chapter, so as initial benefit, is to try and bring a list of 99 names which Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, which he is, from his deduction, he has gathered as being 99 names of Allah. So I'll try and bring that list with a brief translation and brief explanation for the names that he brings. We'll try and do that next time, inshallah, which he brings in his book, Al-Qawa'id Al-Muthla. Alhamdulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any points of clarification?
Ibn Tamir's teacher, another week of the, the one that was taken from his servant, whose teacher was it? The name of the teacher.
He took it from some of his teachers, these names. I think it's the first, you mentioned, I think they're the same ayahs you mentioned before, I think. You know, Sheikh Al-Albani has a book about this, Tawassul. He has a book which is, he breaks it down, which is allowed, which is not. At the end. No, I didn't put the references down. If I can remember, I'll try and write it. If I remember, it, I can't promise. With regard to someone who says that the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a part of paradise upon the earth, then what do they wish to gain from that? If they wish to use that as a means to try and say, first of all, what's the evidence for it from the text, from the book, and from the authentic sunnah? Secondly, what are they trying to gain by this saying of theirs? Are they trying to gain that therefore something, in other words, somewhere along the line, that therefore we perform acts of worship towards the grave? Then this is shirk. If we look in the authentic text of the book and the sunnah, it is described as being shirk, something rejected by Allah. Then the argument is futile because it leads to shirk. If they're just trying to establish that something upon the earth is being mentioned as a part of the paradise, then the authentic hadith in Bukhari, that ما بين بيتي ومنبري روضة من رياض الجنة, that area which is between my house and my minbar is a garden from the gardens of paradise. So I didn't mention his grave, it mentioned between his house, in between, not even his house, in between his house and his minbar, that area has been described as being a garden from the gardens of paradise. And the wording was not what is between my grave and my minbar. That wording is not authentic, is not in Bukhari, is not in Muslim, and is not authentic. But the authentic wording is that which is between my bait, my house, and my minbar, is a garden from the gardens of paradise. And then with regard to the meaning of that, then the scholars differ in the meaning of that. And they say, some of them say it means with regard to the descent of mercy, that the descent of Allah's mercy in paradise is so great. And likewise, for a person who worships Allah in that area there, the area where the Prophet used to pray, that area of the mosque, a person who worships Allah there correctly, then he will receive Allah's mercy likewise. And as for it being actually physically now a part of paradise, in this world it's actually a part of paradise, then they say no. Why? Because of other texts which prove that that suggestion is not correct. That suggestion is in addition to what occurs in the hadith, and is not correct because there are other ayahs that mention about the Jannah which the believers will enter, that وَإِنَّ لَكَ فِيهَا أَنْ لَا تَظْمَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا وَلَا فَآيَة, that with the description of paradise, that in the paradise you will feel no thirst and no tiredness. In paradise you will feel no tiredness and no thirst. And they say, as for a person who worships Allah in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Rawdah, then sooner or later, and it happens with the good people and the righteous people, anybody, they sooner or later feel thirst and they feel weariness. And for other reasons, so they explain it in that way. Wallahu a'lam. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا, من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له, وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, then to continue with Kitab al-Tawheed, then we just completed chapter 50, باب قول الله تعالى ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه. Al-Ayah, saying of Allah the Most High in Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, Ayah 180, with the explanation, to Allah belongs the most perfect and beautiful names. So worship Him in accordance with them, and call upon Him by them, and abandon those who deviate with regard to His names. And we had in the chapter the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah has 99 names, 100 except for one. Whoever correctly preserves them and acts in accordance with them will enter paradise. The hadith. And we heard that the addition that actually gives the list of names after it, reported by Tirmidhi, and one narration reported by Ibn Majah, and others reported by Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban and others, the actual list of the names as given along with the hadith is not authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but rather it was from the ijtihad of some of the scholars, that they strove to look through the Book of Allah and what they could find in the Sunnah, so the scholars from the early times right until this day here have striven to look through the Book of Allah and the authentic Sunnah and to extract these 99 names. So each scholar who has done that has come with slightly different list of names, and No one scholar will be able to say this is definitely the list, which is why scholars have continued to strive in that regard right until this time. And as we mentioned, one of the scholars in these times was Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. In his book Al-Qawa'id al-Muthla, so he produced a list And the scholars doing so hoping to fall into this hadith. That one of the parts of Ihsa, correctly preserving these names, is to look for these names and to compile them. So amongst these scholars, as we said, was Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, and he compiled a list of 99 names. Not to say that Allah's names, as we've had many times, are restricted to these 99, but hoping and striving to establish the 99 names which are given that promise, that whoever preserves them correctly and acts upon them will enter paradise. So I'll just read, initially I'll read the list that Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen brings. And I was hoping to write some of them on the board, but anyway, Allah musta'an. I'll read the list and then try and bring a brief explanation, as we said, for at least the first 50 today, and then the rest next week, inshallah. So the Shaykh, initially, he brings a list of 81 names extracted from the Book of Allah, from the Qur'an. And then he brings 11 names, the last 11, numbers 82 to 99, extracted from the authentic Sunnah. So he says, from the Book of Allah the Most High are the first name, Allah, the second, Al-Ahad, the third, Al-A'la, the fourth, Al-Akram, the fifth, Al-Ilah, the sixth, Al-Awwal, the seventh, Al-Akhir, the eighth, Al-Zahir, the ninth, Al-Batin, the tenth, Al-Bari, the 11th, Al-Barr, the 12th, Al-Basir, the 13th, At-Tawwab, the 14th, Al-Jabbar, the 15th, Al-Hafiz, the 16th, Al-Hasib, the 17th, Al-Hafiz, the 18th, Al-Hafi, the 19th, Al-Haq, the 20th, Al-Mubin, the 21st, Al-Hakim, Al-Hakim, the 22nd, Al-Halim, the 23rd, Al-Hamid, the 24th, Al-Hayy, the 25th, Al-Qayyum, the 26th, Al-Khabir, the 27th, Al-Khaliq, the 28th, Al-Khallaq, the 29th, Al-Ra'uf, the 30th, Al-Rahman, the 31st, Al-Rahim, the 32nd, Al-Razzaq, the 33rd, Al-Raqib, the 34th, As-Salam, the 35th, As-Sami', the 36th, As-Shakir, the 37th, As-Shakur, the 38th, As-Shahid, the 39th, As-Samad, the 40th, Al-Alim, the 41st, Al-Aziz, the 42nd, Al-Azim, the 43rd, Al-Afu, the 44th, Al-Alim, the 45th, Al-Ali, the 46th, Al-Ghaffar, the 47th, Al-Ghafur, the 48th, Al-Ghani, the 49th, Al-Fattah, the 50th, Al-Qadir, the 51st, Al-Qahir, the 52nd, Al-Quddus, the 53rd, Al-Qadir, the 54th, Al-Qarib, the 55th, Al-Qawi, the 56th, Al-Qahhar, the 57th, Al-Kabir, the 58th, Al-Karim, the 59th, Al-Latif, the 60th, Al-Mu'min, the 61st, Al-Muta'ali, the 62nd, Al-Mutakabbir, the 63rd, Al-Mateen, the 64th, Al-Mujib, the 65th, Al-Majid, the 66th, Al-Muhit, the 67th, Al-Musawwir, the 68th, Al-Muqtadir, the 69th, Al-Muqit, the 70th, Al-Malik, the 71st, Al-Malik, the 72nd, Al-Mawla, the 73rd, Al-Muhaymin, the 74th, Al-Nasir, the 75th Al-Wahid, the 76th Al-Warith, the 77th Al-Wasi', the 78th Al-Wadud, the 79th Al-Wakil, the 80th Al-Wali, the 81st Al-Wahhab. Then he mentions, and from the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the following: the 82nd Al-Jamil, the 83rd Al-Jawad, the 84th Al-Hakam, the 85th Al-Hayyu, the 86th Ar-Rabb, the 87th Ar-Rafiq, the 88th As-Subbuh, the 89th As-Sayyid, the 90th As-Shafi, the 91st At-Tayyib, the 92nd Al-Qabid, the 93rd Al-Basit, the 94th Al-Muqaddim, the 95th Al-Mu'akhir, the 96th Al-Muhsin, the 97th Al-Mu'ti, the 98th Al-Mannan, and the 99th name Al-Witr. Then, with regard to brief explanation of these names, with a slightly longer explanation on what just one or two of them, then a number of books have been written in this present age, depending upon earlier books, and this list, on these brief explanations, are based upon these references, which I'll read now, just so that you have some idea where these explanations are taken from. Firstly, the tafsir of Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, Jami'ul Bayan. Secondly, the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. Thirdly, the tafsir of As-Sa'di, Taysir al-Karim al-Rahman. Fourthly, the tafsir of Al-Baghawi. Fifthly, Majmu' al-Fatawa of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Sixthly, An-Nuniyyah, the poem which is explained of Ibn al-Qayyim. Seventhly, Iddat al-Sabirin, also of Ibn al-Qayyim. Eighthly, Ar-Rad al-Jahmiyyah of Imam Ahmad. Ninthly, Bada'i al-Fawa'id of Ibn al-Qayyim. Tenthly, Sha'n al-Du'a of Al-Khattabi. 11th book, Tafsir Asma'illah al-Husna of Az-Zajjaj. 12thly, Al-Hujja fi Bayan al-Mahajja of Qiwam al-Sunnah al-Asbahani. The 13th one, At-Tawheed of Ibn Mandah. The 14th one, An-Nihaya fi Gharib al-Hadith of Ibn al-Athir. The 15th one, Tafsir Gharib al-Quran of Ibn Qutaybah. The 16th one, Al-Mufradat of Al-Raghib. The 17th one, Lisan al-Arab of Ibn Manzur. And the 18th one, Al-Haqq al-Wadih al-Mubin of As-Sa'di, rahimahumullah. And with regard to the first name that Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen brings, then the name of Allah, Allah. Then concerning the name Allah, Ibn al-Qayyim said in Madarij al-Salikin, the name Allah indicates all of the perfect names and lofty attributes in all three ways of indication, since it indicates his divinity, which indicates affirmation of all the characteristics of divinity for him, along with negation of their opposites for him. So the attributes of divinity are the attributes of perfection, being free from any likeness with the creation and free of any deficiency or imperfection. And the author of the explainer of Kitab al-Tawheed in Taysir al-Aziz al-Hamid He brings a quote from Ibn al-Qayyim also. With regard to the excellent qualities of the name Allah, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, as for the particular virtues of the meaning of this name, Allah, then in this regard, the most knowledgeable of the creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, himself said, I could not praise you enough as you deserve. You are as you have praised yourself. Reported by Muslim from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. He said, so how could we enumerate the special virtues of the name of the one who comprises every perfection unrestrictedly, and every praise and commendation, and every laudation and exaltation, and all splendor and all perfection, and all glory and all beauty, and all good and all eminence, and all generosity, excellence and goodness is for him and is from him. So this name, Allah, is not mentioned upon a small amount of something, except that it causes it to increase. Nor is it mentioned in a state of fear, except that it removes it. Nor is it mentioned upon any misfortune, except that it relieves it. Nor in any state of anxiety and distress, except that it brings relief. Nor upon any state of difficulty, except that it brings ease to it. None who is weak resorts to it, except that it brings strength to him. Nor anyone in a state of humiliation, except that it brings honor to him. Nor anyone in poverty, except that he is enriched. Nor anyone who feels estranged and uneasy, except that it causes him to feel at ease. Nor is it mentioned by one who has been overcome, except that it brings aid and victory for him. Nor by one who is in straitened circumstances, except that his difficulty is removed. Nor is it mentioned by a fugitive, except that he finds refuge. So it is the name, meaning Allah's name, Allah. It is the name through which distress is removed, through which the descent of blessings is sought, and through which supplications are answered. Through it, slips are corrected, sins are warded away, and good deeds are brought closer. It is the name with which the earth and the heavens were established, and with which the revealed books were sent down, and with which the messengers were sent. With it the legislated laws were prescribed. Through it the prescribed punishments were established, and with it jihad was prescribed. Through this name the creation will become divided into the fortunate and the wretched. With it the true and tremendous day is established, and with it the scales of justice are set up, the bridge laid down, and the paradise and the fire established. With it the Lord of all creation is worshipped and praised. For its right the messengers were sent, and it will be asked about in the grave, and for it there will be the resurrection. Dispute is regarding it, and judgment is to it, and alliance and enmity are for it. Through it, those who know it and establish its rights will be the fortunate ones, and through it, those who are ignorant of it and leave its rights will be the wretched ones. So it is the reason for creation and command, and through it they are established and confirmed, and to it they arrive at a conclusion. So the creation comes about through it, returns to it, and exists because of it. So there is nothing in creation and no command, no reward and no punishment, except that it starts from it and ends with it. That is what brings it about and its reason. And he quotes the ayah from Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 191. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. With the explanation, O our Lord, you have not created all of this without purpose. Free and far removed are you from that. So save us from the punishment of the fire. Amen. Then with regard to the name Allah, then the meaning, and these are just brief, a brief indication of the meaning, which is the one who is truly venerated and worshipped, the one deserving that he be singled out with all worship because of his perfect attributes of divinity. And with regard to the second name that the Shaykh quotes, Al-Ahad, the unique, the one who is alone and unique in every sense, the one alone in his oneness, in his self, and in his attributes, alone in his divinity. And the third name, Al-A'la, the Most High, the one who is above everything, having power and control over everything, and the one who is exalted above every deficiency. The fourth name, Al-Akram, the most generous, the one unequaled in his perfect generosity. The fifth name, Al-Ilah, the one who alone deserves to be worshipped. The sixth name, Al-Awwal, the first. And this name, the sixth and the seventh and the eighth and the ninth, Al-Awwal wal-Akhiru wal-Zahiru wal-Batin. The Shaykh has put most of the names, as you can see, in alphabetical order. These four names are out of alphabetical order and put together because they are all explained in an authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, explained by Allah's Messenger himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Al-Awwal, the first, is the one who was before everything, without any beginning. The seventh name, Al-Akhir, the last, the one who remains after everything else, without any end. The eighth name, Al-Zahir, the uppermost one, the one such that nothing is above him. He is above everything, and he encompasses everything with his knowledge. The ninth name, Al-Batin, the innermost one, the one who encompasses and knows the innermost secrets of everything. And the tenth name, Al-Bari, the originator, the one who by his power originated and created and fashioned the created beings upon their separate forms without any prior example to follow, and who created and fashioned the souls in the wombs. The 11th name, Al-Barr, with a ba and a ra and a shadda on the ra, Al-Barr, the most benign and kind, the one who treats the creation in an excellent and kind manner, who does not interrupt his fine treatment of them, and who rectifies their affairs for them. The 12th name, Al-Basir, the all-seeing, the one who sees everything, such that nothing whatsoever is hidden from him. The 13th name, At-Tawwab, the one who guides his servants to repent and accepts their repentance, the one who guides the servants that they should repent to him, grants to them that they should repent, and accepts their repentance again and again. The 14th name, Al-Jabbar, the exalted and almighty compeller, the one to whose might everything in the creation submits, and the exalted one who rectifies the affairs of his creation for them, and who restores the weak and the brokenhearted. The 15th name, Al-Hafidh, the protector, the one who alone guards and protects the heavens and the earth and whatever they contain, and who protects his servants from destruction and from evil. The 16th name, Al-Hasib, the reckoner who suffices, the one who preserves the deeds of the creation and will bring them to account for them, and the one who suffices and protects his servants. The 17th name, Al-Hafidh, the guardian, the one who protects the servants from harm and who perfectly preserves whatever deeds his servants have done, not losing any of their deeds, and the one who preserves and protects his beloved servants from falling into sins and from Satan. The 18th name, Al-Hafi, the benevolent, the one who is ever kind to his servants and ever responding to supplication. And the 19th name, Al-Haqq, the true one, the one true and certain in his existence, in his self, in his attributes, in his sayings, and in his actions. The 20th name, Al-Mubeen, the clear and manifest one, the one whose sole lordship and right to worship is clear and manifest. The 21st name, Al-Hakim, the one fully wise, or Al-Hakim, the all-wise, meaning the one fully wise in everything he decrees, and fully wise in his sayings and in his actions. There is no deficiency or error in anything he decrees, says, or does. The 22nd name, Al-Halim, the forbearing, the one who does not immediately punish his servants for their sins, their shirk, and their unbelief, but rather he gives them the opportunity to repent. The 23rd name, Al-Hamid, the one who is deservedly praised, the one who is praised and fully deserves to be praised for his self, for his perfect names, for his attributes, and for his perfect actions. The 24th name, Al-Hayy, the ever-living, the ever-living who always remains without any beginning and any end, with perfect and everlasting life, who never dies nor passes away. The 25th name, Al-Qayyum, the self-subsisting one, upon whom everything depends, the one who sustains everything that exists, the one who has no need whatever of anything, but rather everything in existence has total need of him. The 26th name, Al-Khabir, the fully aware, the one knowing fully everything that is, has been, or will be, knowing whatever will bring harm or benefit, knowing the true condition of everything and the outcome of everything. The 27th name, Al-Khaliq, the creator and maker of everything, the one who brought everything into existence after it had previously not existed, the one who has always had the attribute of being the creator, even when there was no creation in existence. And that's a fine point that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah brings out and makes clear, that this was Allah's attribute always, that he did not become the creator when he created, when the creation came into existence. Rather, he has always been the creator. This has always been his attribute. So he did not gain this attribute upon the arrival of the creation. Rather, he has always had this attribute. Al-Khallaq, the creator who creates again and again, the one for whom it is not difficult to create anything. The 29th name, Ar-Ra'uf, the compassionate and kind, the one who is kind and compassionate to his servants. The 30th name, Ar-Rahman, the extremely merciful, the merciful one who has as his attribute mercy, the one possessing tremendous and extensive mercy. The 31st name, Ar-Rahim, the bestower of mercy, the one who has mercy upon the creation. And as the verifiers mentioned, the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim is Ar-Rahman is with regard to the attribute of Allah's self, the attribute he has himself of extreme mercy, and Ar-Rahim is his bestowing mercy upon the creation with regard to his action. The 32nd name, Ar-Razzaq, the great provider, the one who provides extensively for the whole of the creation, whatever they need, and who also provides the provision of beneficial knowledge and iman for the hearts of his obedient servants, yarhamkallah, indicating the rizq that is general, that which is for the whole creation, that he provides whatever the whole creation needs with regard to provision and sustenance, and the particular, that which he provides for his beloved servants, the provision in addition to the general provision, the particular provision, the special provision, that of beneficial knowledge and iman, providing sustenance for the hearts of his believing servants. The 33rd name, Ar-Raqib, the ever-watchful, or the ever-watchful guardian, the one who misses nothing whatsoever, being aware of all deeds and of whatever thoughts are contained in the hearts of the creation. The 34th name, As-Salam, the impeccable one, or the flawless one, F-L-A-W, flawless, without any defect, the one free of all imperfections and deficiencies because of his perfection in his self, his attributes and his actions, and the one who renders his creation safe from his punishing anyone who does not deserve punishment, and who renders the creation safe from his oppressing them. The 35th name, As-Sami', the all-hearing, the one who has as his attribute perfect hearing, the one who hears everything within the creation, even that which is most quiet and secret. The 36th name, Ash-Shakir, the appreciative, the one who rewards a small deed with a great reward. As mentioned by At-Tabari and Ibn Kathir in their tafsirs in explanation of it. The 37th name, Ash-Shakur, the one most ready to appreciate and reward abundantly, the one who rewards abundantly and multiplies the rewards of his obedient servants for their deeds. Deeds which he himself favoured them with, deeds which he himself granted to them. The one who does not allow any of their deeds to be lost. The 38th name, Ash-Shahid, the witness, the one who witnesses everything, that which is apparent and that which is hidden. The 39th name, As-Samad, the perfect Lord and Master, upon whom the whole of the creation depends. The Lord and Master whose control is complete, upon whom the whole of the creation depends for its needs. Because of his perfection in his self, his names, his attributes and his actions. The one who remains and never passes away. The one who neither eats nor drinks. Free of all needs. The 40th name, Al-Alim, the all-knower of the seen and the unseen, the knower of whatever is hidden and whatever is manifest, whatever is hidden, whatever is clear, apparent. The 41st name, Al-Aziz, the Almighty, or the Invincible, the Almighty One whom nothing can overcome, the One Mighty in vengeance when he punishes his enemies, the All-Powerful One who overcomes all, and before whose might all submit, and who has no need of anyone. The 42nd name, Al-Azim, the Tremendous One, or the Magnificent, the One Tremendous in greatness, and the only One deservingly held in awe and venerated by the creation, for His greatness in every sense. And the 43rd name, Al-Afu, with an Ayn and a Fa and a Waw with a Shadda on it. The one who pardons again and again. The one who continues to pardon the sins of his servants and leaves off punishment for them. The one who pardons his slaves so that they do not suffer the consequences of their sins if they repent. The 44th name, Al-Alim, the All-Knowing. And here we'll quote quite a longish saying from Imam Ahmad in explanation of Al-Alim, found in the book Al-Rad al-Jahmiyyah, that he said with regard to Al-Alim, the All-Knowing, that he is the one who knows everything in the seven heavens and the seven earths and whatever is between them and whatever is beneath the ground and whatever is in the depths of the oceans, and who knows the place where every hair grows and every tree and the place where each leaf falls and the number of stones there are and the number of the grains of sand and the number of grains of soil and the weight of the mountains and all of the actions of the servants and the traces they leave behind and their speech and every breath they take. He knows everything. Nothing is hidden from him. Whilst he is upon the throne, above the seven heavens, he the perfect and most high. That being the end of the quote from Imam Ahmad. So he knows whatever was, whatever is, and whatever will be before it occurs. And he knows the true and hidden reality of everything. And he knows whatever is not going to be and how it would be if it were to exist. And he has always been the all-knowing, perfect in his knowledge. The 45th name, Al-Ali, the Exalted. The Exalted One. Exalted in his attributes and his greatness, high above what the wrongdoers say, and the one who is himself above the creation, ascended upon the throne, and the one who has ascendancy over the creation by his might. The three meanings of ulu are all affirmed for Allah. The ulu of his being exalted and far above what the wrongdoers say, exalted in his attributes, the one who is himself above and is ascended upon the throne, and thirdly, the one who has ascendancy by his might over the creation. The 46th name, Al-Ghaffar, the oft-forgiving, the one who forgives the sins of his servants again and again, whenever the servant repents, and who hides the sins of the servants and does not expose them. The 47th name, Al-Ghafoor, the one who forgives extensively, the one who covers up the sins of the servants to an extent that cannot even be comprehended, and who forgives them so that he does not punish them for those sins. The 48th name, Al-Ghani, the independent one, who is free of all need, the one who has no need whatsoever of the creation, the one who is free from any poverty or need, the one in whose hand lie the treasures of the heavens and the earth and of this world and the hereafter. The 49th name, Al-Fattah. Fattah with a fa and a ta with a shadda on it, then a alif and a ha. The judge and opener who distinguishes the truth from falsehood. The judge who judges between his servants with the truth and with justice, with his legislation and with his decree, and who is never unjust, and the one who opens the gates of mercy and provision and whatever is closed to his servants, and who opens the eyes and hearts of his servants for them to see the truth, and the one who aids and grants victory to his believing servants, and who distinguishes the truth from falsehood. And the 50th name, Al-Qadir, the fully able one, the one fully able to do anything he wills. Nothing renders him incapable or wearies him. And we leave the remainder until next time, inshaAllah. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. And maybe before next time, we can at least get some photocopies of the list of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen from his book, Al-Qawa'id al-Muthla, inshaAllah. Oh, two. Bakiya Shay.
So can I ask a question?
If you can find a question to ask.
Regarding the 99 names, it is what it seems. So it appears that there's only 88, right, in the Quran, and the other come from the Sunnah, is that correct?
With regard to Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, then he strove his best to find whatever names he could, as scholars usually do. They strove the best that they could to find the names in the Quran. And when they fell short of the number 99, then whatever remained, they would look in the Sunnah. So this is what Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen did as well, striving initially to find the names in the Quran. And before, for example, Ibn Hazm, they strove and making it a condition upon themselves that they would only bring a name which they could find in the Quran. But when they did so, their list usually came to around 80 names or thereabouts. So therefore, they ended up taking other names from the authentic Sunnah. The authentic Sunnah, which is revelation, as the Quran is revelation.
Has he listed, just out of interest, where the remaining have come from? The remaining 11. He listed each hadith along with the names, or has he said which hadith, or has he just taken them and not given us the?
With regard to the names, in addition, the ones from the Sunnah, then the Shaykh has also, or the book of the Shaykh, gives you footnotes mentioning which hadith brings the names.
Mashallah.
Obviously, a completion of the list would be to quote the. Which ayah the names are occurring, or which, or where the hadith surah. Is? Yeah, which ayah, which surah the name occurs in, or if they're from the hadith, then where the hadith is.
So, can we get this book is available?
Yeah, this book. In case anyone who hasn't got this book, anyone who can read Arabic, and wants to benefit themselves with regard to the matter of Allah's names and attributes, then make it upon yourself to get hold of this book, Al-Qawa'id al-Muthla. It's a book of principles with regard to Allah's names. How we are to understand Allah's names, the principles that are to be applied, the principles that the people of the Sunnah are upon with regard to Allah's names, a refutation of the people of innovation and deviation, where they go wrong, and principles to prove where they have gone wrong. This is one of the finest books written in this regard. And the Shaykh himself explained it, and whoever can get hold of, there are cassette tapes in explanation of the book as well. The Shaykh himself explaining the book.
Shaykh Muhammad ibn Taymin?
Yeah, Muhammad ibn Salih al Taymin.
Bake their heads,
every name,
With regard to acting upon the names, obviously the first stage of the hadith, man ahsaha dakhal al jannah, whoever comprehends them and correctly preserves them and acts upon them will enter paradise. The first stage is to gather the names. Then alhamdulillah, the sheikhs from early times till this time, and Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, they'll bring the name, for example, as-salam, and just say the peace, which is not a correct explanation, not a correct translation, and it doesn't inform you anything. Al-Quddus, the holy. What on earth are you supposed to understand by the holy? You can't understand anything from it. So firstly, that you get some sort of correct understanding of what something that is indicated by the names. And then the next stage, that in accordance with that, you act in accordance with it. And there's one book that deals somewhat in that regard, which is An-Nahj al-Asma of Muhammad al-Hamud al-Najdi, a three-volume book where he gives explanation of each name, taken from the earlier scholars, taken from the same sort of references as these references here. And then at the end of each one, he brings the effects of Iman in this name. So that is important as well. But when we know that Allah is As-Sami', that we know firstly that that is His name, As-Sami', and we know then that it means He has the attribute of perfect hearing, that He hears everything, nothing escapes His hearing, that then we are careful about saying anything that will displease Him, because He will hear it. And we act with regard to the rest of the names. Al-Basir, we affirm that Al-Basir, the All-Seeing, the one with perfect, we affirm that that is His name, Al-Basir. Then we affirm that it shows His attribute, because each name indicates an attribute contrary to the Mu'attila, the deniers of Allah's attributes. The correct saying is that each of Allah's names indicates an attribute, and some of them indicate more than one attribute. Then with regard to Al-Basir, we affirm that it is His name. Then secondly, it shows that He has the attribute of seeing, perfect sight, that He sees everything, everything that is apparent, everything that is hidden. So therefore, the next stage, the third stage, we act in accordance with that. We are careful when we act, that we do not do any action that will be displeasing to Him or earn His punishment, because we know that He will see it. And so on with regard to the rest of the names. With regard to the two names As-Sami' al-Basir, then I don't know the answer to the question that was asked, whether the Salaf placed emphasis on these two particular names. Allahu A'lam. But one thing that the Imams and the people of the Sunnah mention is with regard to these two names is that one of the great ayahs in the Quran, which gives a principle in support of the people of the truth, the people of the Sunnah, and refutes the extremists, deviants on both sides, those who deny Allah's attributes, and the opposite extreme, those who affirm attributes for Allah like the attributes of the creation. That this ayah, they quote, these two names are mentioned in an ayah in refutation of both of these deviant groups. The ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like Him, and He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. So the first part of that ayah is a refutation of the mumathila and the mushabbiha, those who say Allah is like His creation, those who say Allah's attributes are like the attributes of the creation. The first part of this ayah is a refutation and a demolition of them, because Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there is nothing like Him. So this first part of the ayah demolishes their saying. And then the second part of the ayah, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing, is a demolition of the opposite group, those who deprive Allah of any attributes. Those who say if affirming for Allah attributes means you're automatically making Him like the creation, whereas our Lord Himself affirms attributes for Himself, saying وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ, having demolished the saying of those who say is like his creation, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there is nothing like him, then he says وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. So the second part of the ayah is a demolition of the مُعَطِّلَ, those who deprive him of his attributes, the مُعْتَزِلَ and the أَشَائِرَ, the أَشْعَرِيز, and so on and so on, those who deny Allah of his, deny Allah's attributes or twist the meanings of them and then refuse to believe the true meanings. Wallahu a'lam bi amma. With regard to al-batin, هو الباطن, it occurs in the hadith in Sahih Muslim that Allah is the batin, وليس دونك شيء, he is the one who encompasses and knows the innermost secret of anything, or rather he is the one who encompasses the innermost one, there is none more innermost than you, the innermost one, the one who encompasses and knows the innermost secrets of everything. So the fact that Allah himself is upon his throne in no way prevents him from knowing the innermost recesses of everything, the innermost secrets of everything, he knows it, whatever is beneath the earth, beneath the seven earths, he knows it.
Can you mention some of the qawaid that the ulama use in deriving what a name of Allah is? For instance, they might use al, every name has to have al, or any of the qawaid that you use.
And with regard to principles, with regard to Allah's names and attributes, then you can get Al-Qawaid Al-Muthla of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen. There's another book here, As-Sifatullahi Azza wa Jal Al-Warida Fil Kitabi Wa Sunnah of Alawi Ibn Abdul Qadir As-Saqqaf, not the Saqqaf, the Khassaf, the fallen down deviant, not that one. Then at the beginning of his book he mentions the number of principles in this regard, and there are other books like this as well, that book of Mahmud al-Hamud al-Najdi, Muhammad al-Hamud al-Najdi, likewise he brings some of the principles in that regard. And there are other books as well like that. Wallahu a'lam. Sifatullahi Azza wa Jal Al-Warida Fil Kitab Wa Sunnah. And that book, in this book, he quotes not just names of Allah, but anything likewise is more or less alphabetical. And he goes through anything that's mentioned as being an attribute of Allah, or rather anything that's mentioned as a name of Allah, or anything that's mentioned as an attribute of Allah's, even if there's no name attached to that. For example, Ar-Ru'ya. And so on and so on. Al-Istiwa, Al-Rijl, Wal-Qadaman, and so on and so on. He mentions names and he also mentions things which are attributes of Allah. And he gives the evidence from the book or the Sunnah. And he mentions then what the earlier scholars said, the books of Tafsir, especially Ibn al-Qayyim in An-Nuniyya. He'll quote bits of poetry and the like. And then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, what he says in Fatawa, and so on. And obviously this is an area to be careful what you read in this area. You be careful and make sure about what you read. And don't read these deviant, spooky books, and generally anything written in English in this regard, unless it's by somebody dependable.
The greatest name of Allah.
With regard to the greatest name of Allah, Al-Ism Al-A'zam, then scholars differ somewhat with regard to which name it is, and the name that was preferred by Ibn al-Qayyim and some scholars before, like at Tahawi, was that Allah's greatest name is Allah, because that is the name which covers all the other names, and all the other names are mentioned supplementary to it. Who Allahul Khaliqul Bari'ul, like that. Say He is Allah, who is Al Khaliq, the great, the Creator. Al Bari, Al Musawwir, like that. Other names are mentioned supplementary to that name, and the meaning of that name covers, as we had from Ibn al-Qayyim to begin with, the meaning of it. Just repeat it. But Ibn al-Qayyim said in Madarij al-Salikin, the name Allah indicates all of the perfect names and the lofty attributes in the three ways of indication, since it indicates His divinity. So the name Allah indicates Allah's divinity, which means affirmation for Him of all characteristics of divinity, along with negation of their opposites for Him. And what are the attributes of divinity? They are the attributes of perfection. So when you say Allah, you're meaning the one who has the attributes of divinity, the one who possesses all perfect attributes. So that covers all the rest of the names and attributes that go along with them. Wallahu a'lam. In some of them it's mentioned. Allah, Allahumma anta Allah, al-ahad al-samad, alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad. And we discussed this briefly a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago in Silsila. We mentioned there are, Sheikh Nasir indicated a couple of authentic ahadith in Abu Dawud, which lay down ayahs where the greatest name of Allah is to be found. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard a man making supplication, and he mentioned in one report that you have called upon Allah by His greatest name, or in another wording, you have called upon Allah by His great name. That which, if He is called upon by it, then He responds to that supplication. And if He is asked by it, then He grants. The authentic hadith reported, both of them authentic, being reported by Abu Dawud. Wallahu a'lam. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, we may have mentioned, some hold that Allah's greatest name is Al-Hayyul Qayyum. Then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he rebuts that. And he says, if that is the case, because they give reason, because of the attributes connected with Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum, he said, from your reasoning, you should restrict it then to just Al-Hayy. Because whatever you mentioned that it proves that Allah's greatest name is that, then he said the same thing is found just in the name Al-Hayy, the ever-living one, etc., etc. So Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah held that it was the name Al-Hayy. Others held it was Ar-Rabb, the Lord and nurturer of the whole of the creation, because of the frequency with which the prophets called upon Allah by that name, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb. Wallahu a'lam. Wallahu a'lam. And as the brother himself concludes, I'm refused to accept the say initially. Mahmoud al-Hamoud al-Najdi, he uses the fact, and he preferred the fact that Allah's greatest name is Allah, and he used as an evidence the fact that the companions and the like, when they made supplication, they would say Allahumma, which means O Allah. This name, this dua is frequently found. So, there we are. So we end up back where we started. Khair. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Then to continue with the list of names brought by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, with regard to Allah's perfect names, then we reached the 51st name, Al-Qahir, the invincible subduer, the one who subdues his creation from above, to whom everything submits. None can repel what he ordains or depart from what he decrees. The 52nd name, Al-Quddus, the pure and perfect, the pure and exalted one, high above every impurity, the one whom the noble angels venerate, the one free of any opposites, rivals, consorts, and children, having perfection as his attribute, the one declared free of all deficiencies and imperfections, and free of having anyone with the like of his perfection, or anyone close to it. The 53rd name, Al-Qadir, the all-powerful, the one who is able to do all things. Nothing renders him incapable or wearies him. The one perfect in his power. The one who by his power created everything in existence. And with his power he controls them, completes them, and gives life and death to them. And with his power he will resurrect the servants and reward and punish them. Whenever he wishes something, he says, "Kun, be," and it is. The 54th name, Al-Qarib, the one who is near. The one who is near to the servants. He draws nearer to those who perform acts of worship and seek nearness to him. And he is close to their hearts. He is near to everyone who makes supplication to him. And also, in addition, he is near to the people with his knowledge and awareness, witnessing and encompassing everything, whilst he is above the throne, the Arsh. The 55th name, Al-Qawi, the one perfect in strength, the one fully able to do anything. None can overcome him. None can repel his decrees. The 56th name, Al-Qahhar, the overwhelming subduer who is never overcome. The one who alone subdues the whole of the creation with his sovereign authority and power. Nothing occurs except with his permission. Everything submits to him. The one who subdues the most obstinate and renegade tyrants with his punishment, and who subdues the whole of the creation with death. The 57th name, Al-Kabir, the incomparably great, the tremendous one who is greater than everything. Everything else is insignificant before him. He is greater than anything imagined by the creation. whatever they imagine, then he is greater than that. The 58th name, Al-Kareem, the bountiful, the generous one, abundant in good, the one who causes and makes easy every good, and who bestows generously. The one so generous that he even bestows favors upon those who reject his favors and then use them as a means to disobey him. The 59th name, Al-Latif, the subtle and kind, the one who is fully aware of the hidden details of all affairs. And of that which will benefit the servants, and who is kind to them and causes that which is good for them to reach them via means which they had no expectation of. The 60th name, Al-Mu'min, the true and trustworthy, the grantor of security. The one who is true in his words and true to the promise he has made to the servants, and who does not disappoint his believing servants. The one who safeguards his servants in this world and the hereafter, and who renders his beloved servants safe from his punishment, and who renders the whole of the creation safe from his oppressing them. The 61st name, Al-Muta'ali, the supreme and exalted one, the one supremely exalted above everything by his power, the one exalted above his creation in his being above them, having power over them and his subduing them, the one high above and far removed from having anything else like him, and the one free and far removed from the lies of those who invent lies against him, and free from the characteristics of the creation. The 62nd name, Al-Mutakabbir, the one supreme in glory, the justly and rightfully proud, the one who is alone truly high and mighty, exalted in glory above everything, the one who disdains and is exalted above all evil and oppression against his servants, and above everything not befitting him. The 63rd name, Al-Mateen, the strong, the one mighty in strength, the powerful one whose strength does not end and who does not experience any difficulty in his actions, nor does he experience any tiredness. The 64th name, Al-Mujib, the responsive, the one who responds to supplications of those who call upon him, wherever they are and whatever situation they are in, no matter how many they are in number, and who responds in particular to those who submit to him and those in dire need. The 65th name, Al-Majid, the one perfect in glory and honor. The one great in honor. The one greatly extolled and praised. The magnificent one, having the characteristics of glory, majesty, greatness, and splendor. The one greater, more tremendous, and more exalted than everything. The one glorified and venerated in the hearts of his beloved servants. The 66th name, Al-Muhit, the all-encompassing. The one who encompasses everything with his power and with his knowledge and has fully enumerated everything. And the one who encompasses everything with his mercy and his subjugation. The 67th name, Al-Musawwir, the bestower of forms, the one who forms and fashions his creation however he wishes, the one who gives form to everything in existence, giving each created thing a particular form and appearance, which distinguishes it from all other created things. The 68th name, Al-Muqtadir, the omnipotent, the one whose power is absolute, the one for whom nothing is impossible. He is fully able to do whatever he wishes. The 69th name, Al-Muqit, the all-powerful maintainer, the all-powerful, the guardian who witnesses everything, the one who provides each created being with the sustenance it requires. The 70th name, Al-Malik, the king, the sole, absolute and true sovereign king, complete and perfect in his kingship. The one whom there is no kingship above his kingship, nor anywhere near it.